I'm Ava Hertley. Welcome back to the Brand is Female podcast.
This week, my guest is Kelsey Irvine, one third of the mother-daughters trio behind Birch Babe, a Canadian skincare brand that's making waves in the natural beauty industry. Kelsey's career is a blend of creativity, commitment to sustainability, and a keen eye for storytelling. With a background in commercial advertising and documentary directing, she has a unique ability to craft content that not only looks good, but also connects on an emotional level. Kelsey isn't just about making things look good. She's deeply invested in making a difference. Her work as an Oscar-nominated producer highlights her dedication to narratives that drive positive change. This passion is a perfect match for Birch Babe's ethos, which prioritizes natural and ethically sourced ingredients, waste reduction, and minimizing carbon footprints. As head of creative and communications for the brand, Kelsey has helped Birch Babe grow into a leader in the natural beauty market, earning a dedicated following and a reputation for excellence. In this episode, we delve into how Kelsey's blend of creative talent and strategic thinking and her commitment to eco-friendly practices has helped shape a successful brand that stands for more than just beauty products. This season of our podcast is brought to you by TD Bank Group Women in Enterprise. TD helps women in business achieve success and growth through its program of educational workshops, financing, and mentorship. Visit thebrandisfemale.com/podcast and follow the link to find out how TD can help you. Kelsey, I'm so happy you're joining me for this conversation on The Brand is Female today. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
It wasn't that long ago that we had, we've had a number of conversations in person. You attended a bunch of our events. We saw you in Vancouver. So I'm excited to dive deeper into your story and hear about your journey. I typically start these conversations by kind of going back in time a little bit to get to your origin story. And I'm always fascinated to hear the answer to this question. Growing up, what kind of career were you dreaming of? What did you think you'd be doing from a job standpoint as a grown-up? And was it at all connected to what you're doing today?
That's a great question. When I was a kid, I actually really wanted to be an actor. And I would gather the family around sometimes during the holidays and be like, everyone sit down, I'm going to sing you a song. And then I would pick the most dramatic song from the Evita soundtrack where she's dying and crying. And I'd have everyone sit around me while I pretended to be Madonna dying in Evita while singing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. And thinking back, it probably made everyone feel really awkward because I think I was only 6 or 7 when I was doing this. And so definitely an actor. And also a bit of an activist. I know when I was younger, one of my fondest and earliest memories is walking down the country road. I grew up on a 174-acre farm, lots of nature all around me. And I remember seeing a bunch of trash on the side of the road as we were walking and just thinking, like, why would you ever throw garbage out your car window? I just did not understand it. And so as a young child, I was already picking up garbage. I can't call myself an activist now. I'm nowhere near what actual activists are doing, but I think it does tie in a little bit to Birch Babe and sustainability.
Totally.
And I was also a little bit of a rebel with the boys. I always felt it was very unfair in grade school that boys got to play British Bulldog. It was this really rough sport, and all the girls were encouraged to play hopscotch. And I didn't want to play hopscotch. I wanted to play British Bulldog. And so I would always advocate for myself from grade 2 to grade 4 that I deserved to play with the boys, this tackle sport. And I remember the boys wouldn't let me play. And so I'd, march up to the teacher and be like, they're not letting me play. And that's not fair because just because I'm a girl, I should be allowed to. And they'd be like, well, just like, why don't you just go over here? Like, just everyone's having a fun time over here playing hopscotch. And I'd say, I need to play with the boys. Otherwise it's not fair. And then eventually they'd let me play with the boys and I made sure I could tackle them harder than they could ever tackle me just to prove that I could be there. So I think all those things looking back do tie into a lot of what I'm doing now. There's definitely a lot of influence from my mom with the whole, I can do it just as good as a guy can do it. And with Birch Babe, being an entrepreneur and running a sustainable skincare company, there's a lot of front-facing work and personality and discussions and talking to people and active listening, which is a huge part of acting. And there's also a big part of trying to make sure that if we're doing what we're doing to be a sustainable skincare company, like, we are not just falling into the path that's already been done over and over again, and really trying to do things in a way that we feel like is our North Star, or I feel like is my North Star. Like, you know, if we don't like the packaging, let's find new ways of doing the packaging. And so I do think they tie in together. And I do also still take acting classes whenever I have time, because
I love that.
I just love it. And I think it makes me a more empathetic person. It makes me feel really uncomfortable. And I think it's important to feel uncomfortable regularly to keep an ego in check and to stay grounded. So yeah, I'm a maybe one day I'll be on the screen, but for now I'm making skincare.
Well, I know you've been behind the screen as well. And, you know, I first met you as the founder of Birch Babe, which is a wonderful brand that I want to talk more about. And then found out you're also a documentary director and produce something that got you a nomination to the Oscar. So I want to hear about that chapter before we get into Birch Babe. So tell me a little bit about your work behind the lens.
Yeah, of course. So one small correction, and most people can mix this up. So with Birch Babe, my mom, Debbie, is actually the founder. She started it 6 years ago, and then my sister and I came on board 3 years ago. And so now I act as CEO, my sister is COO. We all work on it equally together in our own roles. But to get into that question about directing and producing, I like this question a lot, because growing up, like, backtracking to me as an actor, I wanted to be an actor as a kid. And then when I got into high school and things started to get a bit awkward, and I always kind of felt a little like an outcast. I also ended up getting into more of the rebellious side. Like, I was partaking in a lot of partying, and I'm now 8 years sober. So thank you. So it's an important part of my story, because I think being influenced by drugs and alcohol in my teen years and in my 20s, it really, without knowing it, does take a toll on my North Star. It took a toll on like where I wanted to go. And so going through high school and college, and then my first entry positions in the workforce, or in the, my working career, I actually went to school for creative advertising to be an account person. And I am not a business person on the computer doing spreadsheets and numbers and that type of thing. I do it with Birch Babe, but there's a lot more creativity involved in it. And so the reason I went to school for those things was because I no longer believed that I could be creative. It just seemed way too difficult. It wasn't something that was encouraged when I was in my teens. I remember saying, like, I think I want to go to school for fashion and maybe explore doing something like that, because I'm really into colors and fashion. And it was sort of said to me, like, you're really good with people, so why don't you just go to school for account management? Because then you can hang out with the creative people, but you'll have a safe job. So I actually spent my first 5 years working in a lot of ad agencies as an account person. And then at night, I would do my creative stuff. So I worked on a not-for-profit organization that focused on dance and holistic nutrition. And then that had kind of wrapped up. And then my next side project, which was my creative outlet while I was doing this business job during the day, was working on a documentary film with my ex-partner at the time. And I had no idea what filmmaking was. I didn't understand what a producer did. I just knew we had to make this film. And so we actually, together with a team of maybe four or five, we just invented this production company and made us seem way bigger than we were. We flew to Paris. We documented our subject, which is Claude Lanzmann, a very famous writer and documentary filmmaker. And then we came back and we created this film. And it was about the Shoah, which is one of the most significant films about the Holocaust. And I still didn't know I was a producer. It was just this side creative thing I was doing. And I was like, I just make it happen. And then eventually got acquired by HBO. And it was when I got acquired by HBO that they gave me a producer credit. And I was like, oh, this is what a producer does. Like, I'm a producer. I had no idea. So then I got to go to the Oscars. I went to the Oscars. It was fantastic. Like, David Dixon, who's this incredible Canadian fashion designer, he graciously made my dress for me. I looked like Cinderella. And when I came back, I thought, okay, I have something here. I have no idea what a producer does, but I need to create something with this. And so at the time, I actually was working with TD. I had taken a client role at that time. So I was client side now, even more corporate, in the TD Towers, downtown Toronto. And I had an opportunity to take to stay with TD or take a massive pay cut and work as a producer in a recording studio. Just anything to make me understand what producers do outside of this film I made. And there was no benefits with this. It was a huge pay cut. I didn't know what I was doing. And I chose that more, I guess you could call it, the unsafe route.
Because the riskier path.
The riskier path, because I knew that I would never be satisfied if I kept going on this path I was going on, because I was told that I should do this and it was the safe thing to do. And I knew that if I have this sliver of an opportunity, I need to take it now while I can. And then that led me to learn about production in the commercial space by working in a recording studio on the production side. And then from there, I thought, well, maybe I can be a bit more creative here. And I started my own company repping independent directors and connecting them to ad agencies. So it was during this period where there was a need for a different type of storytelling. And so I still did not believe that I could be the creative person. So I was working with directors. I was helping write their treatments. I was coming up with ideas. I was helping produce a job with AT&T. It was with the Black Eyed Peas. We were there with a director, an incredible director, and some things happened, and that director was no longer on the job. So I'm like, well, who's going to direct this? Like, it's with the Black Eyed Peas, and it's in 2 days. And the clients at AT&T just said, you're going to direct it. And I thought, okay, I don't know how to direct, but I'll just figure it out. So that night, I found the most colorful pajama suit that I could find. And I said to myself, I'm going to wear this really colorful pajama suit to set when I direct the Black Eyed Peas, because they will take me seriously. If I am confident enough to wear this completely wild pajama suit with flowers all over it, there's no way they can't take me seriously. And that's what I did. And then from there, that's what started my directing career. And then for 4 years, I started directing commercials all around the world. So with Four Seasons, with Under Armour, I was working with athletes and helping tell their stories. So it's a very long-winded way of saying that I, for a very long time, never believed I could do it. And that's okay. But I think bit by bit, as I started to open a little bit of a door, another door opened a little bit, and another door opened a little bit. And just before that film went to the Oscars, going backwards, that was actually the year that I got sober. And so I really have to give credit to that, because it was getting sober and realizing that there's so much more to life than numbing yourself and partying and hanging out with people and talking about not much sometimes. There is so much more. That's where I really started to gravitate and travel more in the direction that I was always meant to go in as that 7-year-old girl.
I love that so much. You didn't know you were a producer. You produced. You didn't know you were a director. You became one. There's definitely, I think, inspiration and lessons in there. I love that that story so much. And dressing for the job you want, right? If I looked apart.
Yeah, and I had blue hair. I had blue hair at the time.
Even better. Mm-hmm. Love it. How did you choose to start being involved with Birch Babe? So you saw your mom launch a company 6 years ago. What made you want to be part of it?
Okay, my mom is a total badass. And I was watching, or we were watching her, my sister and I, from the sidelines while my sister was running a very busy bar downtown. I was now working in storytelling. So I was traveling the world, directing commercials for brands. And I had this experience in advertising from before. And so we were watching our mom, who had actually hiked from the southern tip of Patagonia to the northern tip of Chile by herself over 6 months. And wow. She came home. It was incredible. Sometimes we wouldn't hear from her for days. We're like, is she okay? She came home and she immediately was like, I need to do more with my life. She was always an entrepreneur. She was always into beauty. She was always into sustainability. And she just quit her job that she had at the time with the government, moved to the cottage and started making skincare. And that was just for herself and friends and family. Then she was getting into some festivals and it was really more of a hobby thing that she was doing at the time. And that was for 3 years. The branding wasn't there. You couldn't find anything on the website if you looked for it. My mom's like a scientist. She's not a marketer. And so it was during the pandemic, actually, that in overnight, all of my jobs vanished. I had jobs lined up to go to Bogota, back to Egypt. I had just come back from Istanbul. I was going to go to Bali, and this was all for Four Seasons and a couple other projects, and they were just canceled. And so it was then during the pandemic that I actually really liked it, to be honest. I enjoyed mm-hmm. having the time to just sit and go for walks with my dog and let like the good. World just kind of settle. I didn't mm-hmm. mind it. I didn't feel sad that all my jobs were lost. I was like, this is where I'm meant to be right now. And mm-hmm. so it was in around 6 months that my sister and I, we decided to rebrand Birch Babe. And as like, it's just a nice thing to do for our mom. Let's just do a nice thing. And we rebranded it on a shoestring, $500. Made a logo. It wasn't the nicest logo. It was a good logo for what we needed at the time. Mm-hmm. And just launched a new website. And we didn't realize or anticipate that was October 1st, 2020. And then within 3 years, Birch Babe ended up growing organically from being in 30 stores to 300 stores. And getting a distributor and being on indigo.ca and well.ca. And my sister and I just organically came on board. Like, I didn't know I was an entrepreneur, and then I was an entrepreneur. And
there's a pattern there, right? You're seeing it. Like, every job you end up taking, kind of, you know, you kind of naturally flow, you're pushed in that direction, and then you become that profession.
And I think that comes back to, I've always believed that I really believe in the universe. When the book The Secret came out, I just thought, yeah, I mean, of course, this isn't, thank you for talking about this. I've been a massive believer in this. Duh. So I've always known that when I'm doing the things that I feel like I should be doing, even when it doesn't make sense, those things that my gut says I should do, but my brain's like, this doesn't make sense. Whenever I'm doing those things, the world just opens up for me. And so it felt really right to be doing this with Birch Babe. And then the world, we just went along for the ride. It's going with the flow. And then now we're here 3 years later, and we just launched Birch Baby in the fall. And then 2 months later, we launched a brand new rebrand. And that is
congratulations.
Really, thank you. And that meant a lot to us, because that rebrand was really solidifying that the last 3 years and this brand actually means something, and it actually has this potential mm-hmm. to really help a lot of people. And it deserved a look and a branding that represented what it was. Like, we were no longer, mm-hmm. you know, we're in high school now. We were in grade school mm-hmm. before, and now we're in high school. We needed just a little bit of a new outfit.
Good for you. And loved a new branding. I loved a product as well. But I've been using the, I think the is it the whipped body butter? Is that yes. what it's called? Yeah.
It was
vanilla called scented.
It was called the whipped body butter. We had to change the name. I can't go into too much detail, but there is... all to say, we have to change the name.
I hear you.
Any brand that's called Whip Body Butter now should be changing their name. We now call it Body Quench.
Are you ready to be inspired and connected? I'm really excited to share that we have officially launched the Brand is Female Conversation Series. Come and join us for a monthly conference that's changing the game in Montreal, Vancouver, and Toronto. Engage with fellow women thought leaders, innovators, and visionaries. Get ready for insightful discussions and powerful networking opportunities presented by TD Women in Enterprise. Visit our website, go to the events section, and secure your spot today. I can't wait to meet you in person.
You talked about, you know, kind of trusting that, you know, the universe puts you in the right place, and you've been making decisions around your career based on that intuition. Is that something that, how do you tap into that guidance? You know, is it kind of just listening to yourself? Is it tuning into, you know, that voice inside? Is there kind of a protocol or a method that you like to follow to make sure you're in touch with that type of inner voice?
Yeah, there is. I love this quote that someone shared with me once, and it's, if it's rushed, it's not from God. Mm. And what that means is sometimes I will feel like it can be as simple as I have to respond to this email now, because I'm trying to make something happen. I'm trying to make mm-hmm. someone do something. I am trying mm-hmm. to control the show. And someone told me, if it's rushed, it's not from God. It's from mm-hmm. my ego. So I can usually tell when I'm on the beam and when I'm off the beam. And when I'm off the beam, things just aren't flowing very well. They feel crunchy. I feel off. I'm starting to grasp at things. I'm trying to get people to do things. Maybe I'm obsessing.
It feels desperate. It's like desperate energy a little bit.
That desperate energy, or I'm obsessing over if someone's going to get back to me. Did they text me? Have they emailed me? That, hopefully, if I'm in a good enough mindset, that won't last very long, because I can usually tell, like, okay, I need to get out of this. And how I get out of that, which helps me stay on track, is I do go to like a regular, like 12-step program that helps keep me on the beam. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like therapy. I talk to a mentor. I have a huge network of other women that I call regularly, at any time of day. If one doesn't answer, I can call 5 others and I can share with them how I'm feeling. I get on my knees and I do pray often. Not to a religious God. It's mm-hmm. more just to the universe or to my higher power, mm-hmm. I like to call them, because that really helps humble me and get me out of my head. And mm-hmm. and when I'm really on the beam, I meditate and I'm writing in a journal every morning. So those things help bring me back on track. I'd say the most important thing, though, is calling people that mm-hmm. I really trust, mm-hmm. that are close, that are in my circle, who know me very well, not new people, but close yeah. people, because a lot of times the stuff that's in my head, it doesn't make a lot of sense in my head, and I don't realize yeah. it until I say it out loud to someone else, and yeah. by then it sounds really ridiculous, or by then I already realize I have the answer. I've just said it out loud. Mm-hmm. So those things help keep me on the beam. So I'd say when I am on the beam and in the flow, it's that continuous, like, getting on my knees and praying and just saying, like, help me do the next right thing, or show me a sign, or like, guide me, knowing that it's not me that's doing it. I'm open-minded to something else helping me.
And it's wonderful that you can do that. I think a lot of women kind of struggle with, you know, tapping into what's their intuition, inner guidance versus what is fear dictating something, or, you know, some other emotions. I like how you describe your process. Why is it so important at Birch Babe to be committed to creating products that are kind to humans, kind to the planet, you know, even packaging, as you talked about, everything is made from the cleanest, purest ingredients, very natural, very few additives. And I know it's your mom's baby originally. Why is that so important? And do you think this is a shift that consumers are increasingly looking for, as, you know, as we make choices for everything that we consume, not just what we put in our mouths, but what we feed our bodies as well?
Whew, such a good question. So why creating sustainable and clean ingredients is super important at Birch Babe is because, from a personal level, as an entrepreneur, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself and my mom and my sister, I think would feel the same way. If we just wanted to do this to make a lot of money really quickly, it might not be that important. Mm-hmm. But if I wanted the safe route, or I wanted to make money really quickly, I probably would have chosen a different career. Or I would have built the brand differently. And we aren't here for the short term. We're here for the long haul. And we truly believe that everyone deserves access to healthy skincare. Like, I feel that with me every day. I'm like, everyone deserves this. If I'm not healthy, I cannot act to the best of my ability. It's like, if I'm not eating healthy food, I don't feel great. If I'm not putting healthy things into my body, my body doesn't feel great. It might not be as obvious, but it's there. Our bodies are a sponge. Mm-hmm. They're a sponge to the people we spend our time with, the food we eat, and the skincare that we put into our bodies.
I think there is a shift. Obviously, you know, your brand has grown and your number of accounts has grown because people are looking for those options that are way more sustainable and, you know, just better from a health standpoint as well. For anyone who is wondering if it's the right time to launch, you know, a sustainable beauty brand, what kind of opportunities are you seeing in the market?
There's tons. There's so much. I just rewrote our business plan last year because we finally decided it was time to get financing. So thank you, BDC. We got some financing from the BDC, which was incredible. Wonderful. And in that, thank you. And in that business plan, I had to do a lot of research on the skincare industry and where we're sitting right now and where we're going. And so many more people are looking for healthy skincare alternatives. So many more people want it to be vegan. So many more people want the packaging to be sustainable or low waste. And it's not enough to put it on the consumer because we're so busy and there's so much choice and it's really overwhelming. And that's why we wanted to do it as much as we could for them, because I know how hard it is for me even, and I'm pretty attuned to it, to pick the most sustainable option. I don't have time to, it's hard to look at everything, to study everything. And so we really wanted to make an effort to do it for the consumer, for our community. And so I'd say for anyone starting a skincare brand or any sustainable brand, just do it, because the more of us that are doing it, the more our community and consumers have the choice and the trust to be able to buy things that are packaged better, buy things that are made better. Mm-hmm. And if we can do it on a shoestring, like, we don't have any investors, we had a little bit of financing provided for the rebrand. If we can do it, then I know that other brands can do it too. And I'm really excited to see more of them start to, I hope.
Well said. what's next for Birch Babe? You've just, you know, rebranded. You've had a great collab in Toronto over the holidays. What's on the horizon? What's something that's on your to-do list or vision board for the next 12 months?
Yeah, my personal vision board for the next 12 months is to do more public speaking. And this is my first one of the year, so it's really nice to get to do it with you.
I'm honored.
I'm so happy. And really just get out there and share our story more and share what we've got, how we've built this brand and how we went through the rebrand. We're very fortunate that my partner actually was the creative director and designer behind the whole rebrand, which is great.
Oh, that's
giving
great.
You a little shout out there. But on our vision board for 2024, it's for me to do more public speaking. I want to get out there more. My sister and my mom as well. I'd love to see them on some more sustainability panels. Our mom is a certified organic skincare formulator. So she was just interviewed by Formula Botanica, which is incredible. We don't talk enough about how we make all of our own skincare in-house and we formulate everything ourselves. So really, our vision board is being more out there and talking a little bit more about our process, our passion, our commitment to sustainability. And of course, we're launching more products. There's a couple ones coming up. And we are launching more of an extension for Birch Baby. And then a big part of why we did this rebrand was to get into more bigger retailers. Mm-hmm. And we adore our refill community, many of the stores that were in our refilleries. But we realized that in order to give access to as many people as possible to healthy skincare, we need to be in more stores that are in close vicinity to people who maybe don't have access to a refillery. And so that's our goal there, is really to bring healthy and sustainable skincare to bigger retailers so more people have access to it and to have fun. I mean, to have fun. And that's what we're doing this for. We're doing it to be creative, have fun, connect to community, and learn from others and build more alliances with other brands that have the same values as ours so we can learn from them. And I think that's a good vision board.
That's a good list. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll check in with you to see to get a progress update over the next few months.
Yeah.
And are you still finding time for your own creative outlet? Are you still doing any type of, you know, directing or producing in addition to your work with Birch Babe?
Yes. Yes. No, I mean, I was taking acting classes for the first 6 months of 2023, and I had to take a pause on that while we did the rebrand. And I am still repped as a director with a company called The Deli. They're fantastic. And I did I directed a commercial about neurodiversity and people who are neurodiverse in New York back in the spring. Yeah, that was, and it was amazing to get to do that. So there may be a few more directing projects in the future. And and other than that, just writing and I want to run in my first race this year. I'm a big runner.
Oh, good for you.
I've never run in a race because I think I'm afraid of the competition, like how I'll be as a competitor.
Like, You've shared a lot of insights, but I always like to ask if you had to choose two pieces of advice, you know, things you've learned, maybe learned the hard way as a business person, as a creative person as well. What would be your top two pieces of advice for other women in business?
My top two pieces of advice for other women in business would be to go before you're ready. There's this huge idea that we have to have a brand or something perfect before we do it. And I was just talking about this yesterday and how I'm so grateful that we gave Birch Babe the grace to have its infancy phase. I found with producing, it took me 2 years to really be in a good flow with it. It took me 2 years to be in a good flow with directing. it took 2 to 3 years to get into a good flow with Birch Babe. And so this idea of having to launch when it's perfect, I think is, it's great if you want to do it that way, but you, it's also great to do it before you're ready, because there's so much learning that comes from just getting it out there. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but until 6 months ago, we still printed our Birch Babe product labels in-house on our Canon printer, like, which is ridiculous. And it didn't matter, because it was still, it was a good product. People liked it. And that taught us about who our community is, what's our brand values, what's our brand personality like. It's treating the brand like a baby. And if it truly is a baby, I would never expect my child to be perfect and killing it within the first 3 years of its life. I'd be like, play, get dirty, get messy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Try this, try that. What's your personality like? Maybe you like this, maybe you don't like that. It's not a reflection of me. It's just letting it take on a life of its own. So I'd say just do it, and and it will unfold before your eyes, as opposed to trying to create this perfect vision of something. And my other piece would be, thank you. Yes. And my other piece would be to don't let imposter syndrome get in your way. And that's me speaking from my own experience. I realize on reflection, looking back, that there is a lot of things in the past 2 years I didn't share on social media, on LinkedIn, or with people, because I thought they won't take me seriously as a director if I talk about skincare. They won't take me seriously as an entrepreneur with skincare if I talk about directing. They won't take me seriously as anything if I show my acting headshots. They'll think I'm, you know, trying to be a pretty face or something. And I just let all these really silly ideas of what people might think of me get in the way of me just putting myself out there. And at the end of the day, all I can do is share my truth. And whoever it resonates with, it will resonate with. And whoever it doesn't resonate with, it doesn't matter, because it doesn't resonate with them. And it's really not up to me to know how people are going to react to something. It's just up to me to be true to myself. And so I'm really trying to focus on that this year, because looking back, when I look at my phone, I see things from 6 months ago and I'm like, why didn't I share that? That was so cool. And my future self is looking at my past self going, why didn't you share that? Like, you look great in that photo. Why didn't you post that? Or that was such a cool thing that you did. Why didn't you tell people? It could have inspired someone. It could have let people know what you were doing. I don't know. But in the moment, I was just so afraid. And that I think is actually on my vision board for this year, is to act. There's only two ways I've been taught that we can act in life, and that is acting with fear or acting with love. There's nothing really in between. You can put it in one of those buckets. And so that I just described to you is me acting with fear. And it doesn't help anyone or anything or me. And so my vision board for 2024 is to really lean into acting with love, and that's towards others and especially towards myself. And that includes giving myself permission to be like a little bit vulnerable and know that people aren't out to hate on me. Like, they want to support me, and people aren't like, no.
It's interesting how you say that, because I think that's a great filter to use whenever we're making decisions. And it kind of goes back to the early part of our conversation around, if it feels rushed, if it feels like that frantic energy, that desperate energy, it's, you know, not meant to be. It's coming from a place of fear or a place of ego. And so the same thing applies, right? So if we remember that filter when we're trying to make decisions, sometimes we go down the wrong path for the opposite reason, because, oh, I'm afraid of, you know, what are people going to say if I look a certain way or sound a certain way? But I think with that honesty comes so much openness, and that's how we build, you know, true relationships, and that's how we build community as well. So there's something really interesting to explore. I like how you shared that.
Yeah.
Well, Kelsey, I mean, I could keep chatting. This was absolutely wonderful. I love what you and your family have built with Birch Babe. Looking forward to seeing more of the brand and more of your story out there this year. And hopefully this interview helps in spreading the word a little bit. And I can't wait to see what you're up to next. Thank you so much for sharing all of your insights and your journey with us today.
Thank you. It was so nice chatting with you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Brand is Female podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you to TD Women and Enterprise for their support of the Brand is Female. You've got it in you to succeed. Let TD help guide you. Visit thebrandisfemale.com to learn more.